Good morning. In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failure, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in this troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In my questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in this troubled sea. You are the peace in this troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust your promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning gonna rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in this troubled sea. You are my peace in this troubled sea. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm before us. You are bright as you will lead us through this storm. My lighthouse, praise God. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, now I will follow you. My lighthouse, oh my lighthouse, I will trust your promises. You will carry me safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. Oh, safe to shore. Oh, safe to My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust your promises, and you will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore.
Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your written word, the scriptures, the Holy Bible. And I pray that your spirit would just bless the reading and the hearing of your holy word for this time of teaching, that we would be further encouraged and equipped to be obedient to you and your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we read from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 34, and then from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Some of the healing miracles that Jesus performed early on in his public ministry. As we pay attention to the first chapter, he has only called four of the 12 disciples at this point. So, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The reading of God's holy word. Amen. Over the course of my time here at St. John's, I have been blessed to minister with and minister to countless saints of the faith. One such saint was Isabel Purcell. If you've been a part of the congregation for a while, you probably remember that name. Isabel entered into eternal life in 2008 at the age of 80. In one of my visits to Isabel in one of her hospital stays, I asked her if there was a passage of Scripture that she would like me to read for her. And she quickly said Psalm 103, the beginning verses. I know that we've already read those verses as we opened our worship, but hear these again. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being praise His holy name. All of our inmost being. Lynn spent some time reading about the heart, and we'll talk about the heart in a little bit later. But the heart, it's more than what keeps us alive. It's more than the emotion of love. Our heart is captured by this phrase, all my inmost being, everything about us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want you to focus in on verse 3. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I have never forgotten that verse since Isabel asked me to read it for her. And I have shared that verse of Scripture many times over the years of my ministry since 2008. Last Sunday afternoon, Lynn and I drove to the Cleveland Clinic as our friend Don let us know that he was being asked to decide about continuing or discontinuing the life support treatment for his wife, whose name is also Lynn. 6 years ago, Don's Lynn was diagnosed with cancer, and the past 6 years have been an ordeal of treatment and recovery. Treatment and recovery, surgeries and complications. Lynn could experience several weeks of better health, then followed by further months of health issues. Lynn spent the last final 5 months of her life at either Cleveland Clinic, St. Charles Hospital in Oregon, or a care center for a week in Fremont. Don and I have been good friends for almost 50 years. We know each other very well. I was with him back in February, on February 14th at the Cleveland Clinic, when Lynn was having another serious operation. And one of the topics that Don and I talked about that day was how he was going to have to possibly make another decision, which he didn't want to. Don and Lynn had had to make a decision earlier in their life. Their first daughter, Stacy, was born with all kinds of medical issues, and she was on life support for the 5 years that she was alive. And Don and I, we talked about that once again. Don was the son that was at the hospital, and he had to make the decision about extending the care of his father or discontinuing. And then on the 14th, he just said, Eric, I can't do this again. I know Don to be a man of strong faith. He reached out last Sunday. He called his friend Larry. Larry gave him some tremendous wisdom of faith. And we prayed for Don. And lots of people have been praying for Don. Last Sunday, when my wife Lynn and I arrived in the ICU ward, we didn't know it then, but it turned out that we had arrived just 10 minutes before the spirit of life left Lynn's body. In the full awareness of the finality of death, and of the anguish of Don and Lynn's one sister that was there with him, in those moments, I turned to the scripture of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Again, I know Don to be a man of strong faith. So after reading Psalm 103, I reminded him that the many prayers for Lynn's healing had now ultimately been answered. His wife had received healing through her entrance into everlasting life with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lynn was healed. No more ill health, no more suffering, no more pain. It's the assurance of Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. It's always astounding how God leads us in life and how He times it up so well. As we continue in our sermon series on the miracles of God, and contemplate three or some more miracles, healing miracles that Jesus performed, I have been contemplating all week the age-old question of faith. Why does God answer some of our prayers in miraculously healing someone we've been praying for? And then for other times when someone has been sick and we have been praying for the miracle of healing, that healing has not happened like we desired. The healing here on earth. Miracles. Miracles are one type of God's earthly activity that arouse awe and wonder, while at the same time revealing the power and the authority of God Himself. Miracles, they are a direct intervention of God in our world. When you see a miracle, praise the Lord, because He has revealed Himself to you. The miracles of Jesus in the Gospels occurred to authenticate His authority, His power, His character, revealing His special relationship with God as Heavenly Father. Consider these passages from the Gospel of John that proclaim the truth that Jesus is from God. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." John 9, verse 30. After Jesus has healed the man who was born blind, the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." In John chapter 5, in the words of Jesus, "I have testimony far weightier than that of John the Baptist. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me." The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 3, describes who Jesus is. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." Jesus performs miracles. He performed miracles in Bible times. He still performs miracles in today's world because He was sent by God and He is God. Last Sunday, I made reference to Luke chapter 4, which reads, "Jesus went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. And He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. And unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And then Jesus rolled up the scroll, and He gave it back to the attendant, and He sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. And He began by saying to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus came to proclaim the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus came to empower and to heal and to redeem. Understanding that miracles display the power and the authority of God and reveal that Jesus was sent from God, let us consider the healing miracles of Jesus in Mark 1 and Mark 2. First, Jesus drives out an evil spirit. It was on the Sabbath, and they were in the synagogue. A synagogue was their building where it was a place to worship God. It was a place of education, and it was a place of social gatherings. And there Jesus was, and Jesus taught. He doesn't teach like I do. He taught with ultimate authority, not as the teachers of the law. And they were gathered, and there in their midst was this man. Nobody probably really noticed the man, but Jesus did. This man was possessed by an evil spirit. And if you read this passage carefully, Jesus does not have a conversation or interaction with the man himself. He talks with the evil spirit. And it's the evil spirit that talks to Jesus. The evil spirit cried out. He knew the teacher as Jesus of Nazareth. The evil spirit knew who Jesus was. He called him the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked that evil spirit and commanded it to leave the man. And the people recognized that this was a new teaching because of this sense of authority. How great was the authority of Jesus? Even the evil spirit obeyed Jesus. And then Jesus heals many. As I said, there were four disciples that Jesus had called at this time, Simon and Andrew and James and John. And they went to the home of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was sick. And having witnessed the authority and the power of Jesus, those four told Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law. And what did Jesus do? He healed her. He healed her so quickly, the fever was gone. She got up and she waited on all of her guests. But that was not the end. After sunset, what do you do after sunset? After sunset, the people of Capernaum brought all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town. Supposedly, Capernaum could have had 1,000 or 1,500 or 2,000 residents there. And now all of the sick and the demons-possessed came with various diseases. And Jesus healed them. He had that power and that authority. And again, that miracle of healing was teach the people who Jesus was. And as the demons left the people, Jesus did an odd thing. He did not permit those demons to speak. Remember, this is at the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus. He had a few years more to go. And he didn't want those demons to speak about him just yet. They had to be patient, as we have to be patient. And then the last story of Jesus healing the paralytic. If you grew up in the church, or if you've studied the beginning of the Gospel of Mark a few times, you have. I know that in my Sunday school years, I had to build some dioramas. You know, we built those homes out of popsicle sticks. And on top, you had to put a little bit of an opening there and cover it with paper and gravel and sand so that we could tear that apart and lower that little mat with that little stick figure on it down. That's this story. People gathered in large numbers. There was a crowd of people there, and there was no room available, which forced the friends, there were more than just four, the friends brought their paralytic, but four of them walked up the outside steps, opened up the roof, and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And the scripture says Jesus saw their faith. Jesus didn't see the faith of the paralyzed man. He saw the faith of the four who lowered him down. They had faith. They had torn the roof open. They had lowered him down carefully. It would have been much harder for them to lift that paralyzed man back up through the roof. But they had faith that they would not have to do that, that Jesus would heal their friend. So when Jesus saw their faith, did he heal them? What did Jesus say? Son, your sins are forgiven. Those friends, the paralyzed man, I'm sure that they wanted that physical healing. But that's not where Jesus started. Jesus healed the man's heart, that inmost being. He forgave him of his sins. The weight that we each can carry that nobody sees. Son, your sins are forgiven. Maybe the difference between human healing and spiritual healing. And there they were again, those teachers of the law. They were questioning the authority of Jesus. And notice how they were talking amongst themselves, but Jesus knew what they were saying. Jesus knows what we are saying. Jesus knows what we're feeling. Jesus knows what we are experiencing. And the teachers of the law question, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, being Jesus as God's Son, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to get up and take your mat and walk? It's easy to say your sins are forgiven because nobody knows what's happened or not. It is much harder to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But that's what Jesus did. And the man got up, took his mat, and he walked. And if he can do the hard, Jesus can do what we think is easy. Jesus can forgive our sins. For he is the Son of Man. He has authority on earth to forgive our sins, as he forgave the sins and healed the paralytic. So the lessons for us that I have gleaned over these past few days. Do we recognize the authority of Jesus? If the demon recognized the authority of Jesus, do we? Are we obedient to the rule book of faith? If you want to talk about that, give me a call or stop by. Sins are forgiven. Spiritual healing. Physical healing. Sorry to bring up all of my physical problems over the years, but you know, I've had that neck surgery and back surgery and eye surgery and knee surgery and another knee surgery is coming. That's the easy stuff. It's the spiritual healing that is most important. And we don't have to go to a doctor. We don't have to make an appointment. We can sit down, we can stand still, we can be driving down the road, wherever we might be, and all we have to do is say, Jesus, Lord, forgive me. Strengthen me, guide me. Send your Spirit upon me that I would know, and I would have the power to say no to the temptation. When our sins are forgiven, we have new hope. We can be given a new attitude of strength and confidence. And we can recognize the faithfulness of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when our sins are forgiven, we are given a heart of faith. A heart of faith. As I said, I visited with Don back on February 14th. When Lynn came out of surgery, he and I went back to the ICU ward, and Lynn was not aware or alert. A month ago, I visited Lynn, Don's Lynn. It's probably the longest conversation I've ever had with his wife in the last 40 years that I've known them. But she was at St. Charles Hospital, east of Toledo. I was coming back from Cleveland, and I stopped by. And we had a tremendous conversation about faith. And two of the biggest supporters of my Lynn and me were Don and Lynn. She did not go near through anything that Lynn Geary went through, but it didn't matter. It was cancer, it was an illness, it was disease, and they were our supporters. Lynn Geary was at Cleveland Clinic, and I had a little work party at my house. We were setting trusses on my addition, and Don was hoping to be there, but Lynn was back in the clinic. He drove from Tiffin, Ohio to Archbold to drop off a support bag for Lynn. And then he drove over to Cleveland Clinic to spend the rest of the day with his wife. Lynn had a heart of faith that she didn't care where Don was. She wanted my wife to have that bag. On Wednesday of last week, Lynn's pastor and his wife drove up to the clinic to spend some time with Don and Lynn. And Lynn was in a curtained ward. And her pastor was in there, and his wife was standing outside. And Lynn, as a heart of faith, she was concerned about her pastor's wife. And she asked the nurse to get her a chair. When you are blessed with a heart of faith, you have concern for others no matter what your circumstance is. Lifelong lessons that we all can share with one another. Because I am very aware I am not the only one who has lost a dear friend or family member to health issues when they were young. Have a heart of faith. Know that your family member and friend have been ultimately healed. And may the assurance and the peace of Jesus Christ our Lord bless us all. Amen. It's one of the times I hear this clearly. I do not like at times the presence of the Holy Spirit. That whole aspect about Don and Lynn at the end was not in these notes. But I am also glad that I'm an emotional man and I can cry because Jesus cries with us. He wept for his friend Lazarus. Let us pray over our offerings. Lord, in great thanksgiving, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the truth and the guidance of your holy word. And we pray for the ministries of the church. And Lord, we offer ourselves and we share our offerings this day for the furtherance of your kingdom. And we pray that you would bless them and use them to touch people's lives, their hearts of faith. Amen.